The indefinite suspension of a late-night TV host over comments on the Charlie Kirk assassination. A major construction project in the West Bank that could be a precursor to Israeli annexation of the territory. Moves by Western nations to recognize a Palestinian state despite its remote prospects. All three, covered in today's issue of the Monitor Daily, bespeak a world in flux, where the news can be either jarring or incremental, and often profoundly consequential. Some Americans are choosing to tune out, but in a vibrant democracy, there's another path, to disagree better, as Utah Governor Spencer Cox says. It's Friday, September 19th. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning, I'm Linda Feldman. First, our curation of news briefs from staff writers and wire services. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs. Saudi Arabia signed a defense pact with nuclear-armed Pakistan. It pledged that any attack on either nation would be considered an attack on both. Saudi Arabia and Pakistan have long-standing economic, religious, and security ties. The timing of the pact appears to signal a message to Israel, which has been conducting military operations in the region and is believed to have nuclear weapons. President Donald Trump asked the Supreme Court to let him remove Lisa Cook from the Federal Reserve. The administration turned to the High Court for an emergency order after an appeals court refused to go along with ousting Ms. Cook from the Central Bank's Board of Governors. The White House campaign to unseat Ms. Cook marks an unprecedented bid to reshape the Fed board, which was designed to be largely independent from day-to-day politics. Also, scientists designed the world's smallest gears. After decades of attempts to shrink microengines, researchers at the University of Gothenburg in Sweden have built gears just micrometers across. The breakthrough opens new ways of powering tools that work at the scale of a human cell. Now, today's Monitor stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com for our latest news. The sidelining of comedian Jimmy Kimmel's late-night show could signal a wider chilling effect on free speech under pressure from President Donald Trump and regulators under him. But the move also comes as media companies are facing a difficult financial environment. Simon Montlake and Story Hinckley report for The Monitor. The French-Saudi initiative at the United Nations next week, supporting an independent Palestine, while symbolically important, is not risk-free and is unlikely to lead soon to that long-sought goal. Yet it's worth it, supporters say, to keep the discussion alive. Howard LaFranchi reports from Washington for The Monitor. On Monday in New York, diplomats will debate the prospects for a Palestinian state. In the occupied West Bank, Israeli bulldozers are set to begin construction that will, the government hopes, make such prospects moot. Ned Temko reports from London for The Monitor. When governments are brought down, like Nepal's recently was after youth-led protests, a sense of renewal abounds. But the systems that led to the frustration in the first place are harder to dismantle and rebuild. Audrey Thiebert reports from Boston for The Monitor. The vast majority of Canadians live close to the U.S.-Canada border. Spending time in the Yukon, however, feels like a completely different Canada. To view this photo essay, visit csmonitor.com. Melanie Stetson Freeman and Sarah Miller Yana report from along the Alaska Highway for The Monitor. Now, commentary from The Monitor's editorial board on reaffirming the power of poetry. This week, the Library of Congress named the 25th Poet Laureate of the United States. Amid the high-speed and siloed flow of internet-based information and entertainment, and the rapid decline in reading for pleasure, this announcement might seem anachronistic. But for newly named Laureate Arthur Z, who, as a young man, abruptly transferred out of an undergraduate science program to study poetry, those very factors point to why poetry is both relevant and restorative. It helps us slow down and deepen our attention. It helps us uncover, discover things we didn't know and things we didn't know we already knew, he said in a talk at the library this spring. More than that, Mr. Z said, poetry speaks to our deepest selves and connects us all, and it also speaks to the exigencies of our time. These include political and social divisions, as well as economic and environmental pressures that are straining bonds of democracy and community. Today's poets are engaging with these issues and directly with the American public, offering pathways to uplift and connect. For instance, just retired poet laureate Ada Limón's signature project, You Are Here, created poetry installations in 7 national parks to prompt reflection and conversations among visitors. Philadelphia-based Trapita B. Mason started the toll-free Healing Verse Poetry Line during the COVID-19 pandemic to inspire and support. It's still going. Similarly, Poem a Day, set up by the Academy of American Poets, is distributed year-round via email, web, and social media. A line from Mr. Z's poem, Rift, captures the spirit of these interchanges. You followed the thread of poetry out of a maze into sunlight, it reads. Such poet-public connections underscore the innate human appreciation for language that inspires new ideas and fresh insights, characteristics that have applications beyond the arts in the spheres of business and politics. Forbes magazine quotes an executive who sought poets to serve as managers, seeing them as our original systems thinkers, able to wrest simplicity from complexity. The Harvard Business Review has pointed out that poetry fosters a more acute sense of empathy and creativity among managers. Not least of all, it noted, poetry can help teams be invested with wonder and purpose. Former laureate Limón echoes the sentiment. For her, the Associated Press reports, the work of a poet is to not lose the amazement, not lose the wonderment at the world. Mr. Z, her successor, takes the conversation to the next step. Poetry is the essential language, he has said, the finite that puts us in touch with the infinite. The stories you just heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares whether there's a way to feel grounded when things around us seem turbulent. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Ian Case, Mackenzie Farkas, and Audrey Thiebert.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor in Boston, Massachusetts, USA. Copyright 2025.